97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
We raised 92. It's actually going over 100. So it'll be over $100 billion to be invested in Pennsylvania. It's Pennsylvania Energy Project. So we had everybody was there. Larry Fink was there. I mean, everybody was there and done a great job. The senator did a great job.
All right. The president is announcing $100 billion plus that'll come from private sector investments into Pennsylvania, saying that AI will be leading as an industrial powerhouse to compete with China. But we need to put the money into it first. Joining us now is Daniel Turner, CEO of Power of the Future. Hello, Daniel. How are you?
Hey, Ryan. Great to be on with you. Thank you.
So $100 billion, where does that put the United States versus China, let's say, who has unlimited resources that they steal from the people in order to try to, I guess, steal intellectual property from the United States, too? So where does that put the United States versus a country like China?
Well, if you're in the AI world, you would much rather operate in America because you don't want your intellectual property stolen, right? You don't want all of your data, your information. This is sensitive stuff, these codes, all of this AI infrastructure. So they would prefer not to operate in China. But at the end of the day, you have to go where there's reliable, dependable, affordable energy. And so a lot of countries are going to make overtures to try to win them because, look, you can build a database anywhere, right? I think probably the most attractive place to put these data centers for AI is in Alaska because you don't need to commute, right? You don't have to worry about weather. You don't have to worry about snow stopping you. Once they're operational, they don't really need a staff, so they shouldn't necessarily be in metropolitan hotspots, but they are going to go where they can get reliable, affordable energy. So kudos to Pennsylvania for making huge overtures to try to bring them to their state.
Yeah, and it worked. And so part of the larger, grander strategy of the United States is to be leaders in artificial intelligence. And what would that even look like? What does the United States have to gain from leading the world in AI?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're at the very beginning of the AI revolution. The way those of us who are of a certain age may remember the late 80s into the early 90s when we were beginning the tech revolution and the internet, right? There's that famous video of Katie Couric saying, "What is the internet?" Right? People didn't know what it was. And that almost seems laughable at this point. It is laughable, right? We joke about it. But that's where we are in AI, and I think the industry itself knows what it can do. Really, all AI is tremendous amount of computing power, but condensed down to nanoseconds. So when you look at something as complicated as, hey, let's map the human genome and see if we can find where cancer resides, you can do that with 1,000 scientists poring over hundreds of thousands of pages of documents. It's going to cost you a lot of money, and it's going to cost you a lot of time. Or you can write the code and have AI do that in a fraction of time and money. And if you are able to do that, look at the advances you're able to make in medicine, in cancer research. I want America to lead that charge, right? I don't want China to lead that charge. Of course, there are scary implications for AI. It's not all rainbows and sunshines, and it can be used for nefarious purposes. But whatever it is used for, I think we would be better off as a world if those origins have their foundation here in America and not in a rogue communist regime like China.
Yep. CEO of Power of the Future, Daniel Turner, joining us. So when I think Pennsylvania, I think coal. I think coal. But it seems like these big tech companies that are trying to lead their own AI revolution, they're moving to nuclear. They're finding like abandoned sites. They're going to bring them back to life and power it themselves as opposed to trying to bring power off the grid. So what does powering AI look like? Is it just building smaller nuclear facilities for it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's lots of that. It's definitely reliable nuclear. It's reliable coal. It's reliable natural gas. It's reliable baseload. And, it is not surprising that when Microsoft announced they were opening up Reactor 2 at Three Mile Island, they chose nuclear power for Microsoft's AI. They did not choose to build a wind farm or a solar farm. They wanted reliable, cheap nuclear. So it's kind of interesting. Like tech companies, they want wind and solar for the rest of us. But when it comes to their profits, they want what works. And that's why they're choosing Pennsylvania, because it has coal, it has natural gas, and it has potential for more nuclear as well.
You know what? I think that point needs to be said again. When you have these certain industries that are pushing incentives onto people to try to get them to solar, to get them to wind, things like that, and they took advantage of some very generous government grants and opportunities to do so, even after all of that, it seems like it wasn't enough to power massive amount of people that would be necessary for it to be sustainable, let alone in even one company's worth of consumption when it comes to the technological advances that are necessary. There is some hypocrisy there, and I think it's probably a good thing that we're cutting down some of these different incentives for things that have, you know, not actually paid off in the long run. Or do you think that maybe some of these incentives need to continue for the clean energy?
Oh, God, no. No, no, no. These companies will do best if they are forced to compete in the free market. No one incentivized the oil and gas industry. No one subsidizes the coal industry. In fact, these industries create and put tax revenue back into the economy. And people will say, well, they get tax rebates. They can write off. But any business can do tax write-offs on capital expenditures, right? That's not the same as a subsidy. Wind and solar only exist because the government requires it by law and the government pays for it to exist. And I'm not a Keynesian. It feels like a lot of Republicans suddenly became one as they're defending these tax credits, saying, well, if we close the wind and solar tax credits, you know, companies may shut down. Well, the government's job is not to keep companies afloat. The government's job is not to pick winners and losers. Now, I called my company Power the Future because I don't know what the future looks like, but I do know our present is a heavily dependent fossil fuel present. And if we punish ourselves now, we are not going to have a brighter future. So let's let those geniuses who want to perfect wind and solar or geothermal or thorium or blue hydrogen or all these things, let's let them figure it out. But let's us continue to rely on what works, and what works right now are fossil fuels.
Yeah, and I think, you know, credit where credit's due to Elon Musk. He found a way to make it production-wise to the masses, and everything works in line with each other. So we brought the cost down, which made it a very popular option for a lot of people to buy his electric cars. But you haven't seen the same thing with his solar company side. He thought he'd be able to do the same thing with it. It hasn't really taken off. And I got to tell you that once in a while you talk to people that have installed these sort of things, it takes so long for it to pay off. I don't know what other revolutions are out there waiting to power the future, but I got to tell you, it's definitely lagging behind even after the billions and trillions of dollars we've already spent on it. Doesn't give me a lot of optimism.
No, and you wonder what would have happened if that money was spent elsewhere, right? What if that money was spent or just not spent at all? I mean, that's the problem with the government. You don't have to always spend money. The government doesn't seem to learn that lesson, but you're absolutely right. You know, I have a working sheep farm in rural Virginia in addition to Power the Future, and we looked at getting solar just out of pure curiosity. We looked at the rebates. We looked at what it would do for the farm. The out-of-pocket costs were so astronomical, and it took 30 years to pay them off, but solar panels only live about 12 to 18 years. And so I thought to myself, this is deeply immoral that the government is encouraging people to take out a 30-year financing on a product that they know will live at best 20 years. You know, people should go to jail for such a predatory lending, as we used to call it. But when you do it in the name of climate change, you're allowed to violate natural law. You're allowed to violate ethics. You're allowed to do whatever. And I think that's barbaric.
Yeah, we got to be honest with this, too, and going on it, maybe not even on a farm side. But we're running into people, and you find this when they go to sell a home and they're locked into one of these long-term contracts. They try to tie it into the sale of the home, saying that the new owner has to assume the obligations of that loan. People don't want to pick up someone else's solar panels and have to pay an extra $20,000 for a house. Any happening. So these people are having major regrets down the line if they decide to sell the home, or let's say it's not operating the way that they were promised it would operate because these salesmen oversell these things. There's major disappointment that people have that put these in, and we're finding that story a lot more common.
Is going to look like we may get to the point that residential solar is this wonderful solution, but it's not necessarily there now, and giving people free taxpayer dollars to pretend it's there is not a solution either. And we know that getting rid of these subsidies is going to make some American companies suffer. Some Americans are going to lose their job. That was the threat for the One Big Beautiful Bill saying if we get rid of these subsidies, people who work in these industries will be out of a job. That's tragic. You know, but what's really tragic is that we gave them these jobs on Keynesian principles to begin with. And this is what happens when government starts getting involved and tinkering outside of their purview.
Yeah, and I mean, we have to actually have some tough love conversations sometimes. So if you look at some of these contracts that the Biden administration signed in when it came to the electric car grid and spending billions of dollars for like nothing, them studying the infrastructure and building nothing, helping no one when it comes to electric vehicles. There's people that are making money off of this stuff, but there is absolutely no benefit to the consumer or the people that they're promising to help. So some of these jobs that are going to be lost were just opportunists that were taking advantage of the government's generosity. So again, we have to be realistic when we talk about some of these positions that may be eliminated. They may not have been helping people to begin with.
No, and actually there's a wonderful story today on in the New York Post that I just put on my social account of Biden's promise to bring thousands of electric mail trucks, and they signed a multi-billion dollar contract, and we were supposed to have thousands of them delivered by now, and we have 93 of them. But what we don't have is the $1.7 billion that was awarded in the contract that has disappeared. Someone got very rich. Someone bought a beach house. Someone bought a boat. But what we didn't get is electric mail trucks. And again, this is the nonsense that we do in the name of climate change, where there is grift and theft and outright fraud. And until people start going to jail for it, it's never going to stop.
Yeah. So if people wanted to look you up, Power of the Future, where can they go?
PowerTheFuture.com. Look us up or give me a yell at Daniel at PowerTheFuture.com.
Very easy. PowerTheFuture.com, Daniel Turner. I know this is going to be a topic a lot of people are paying attention to, but in the end, what's your level of confidence this $100 billion investment in Pennsylvania is going to pay off on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being most likely it'll pay off quickly, 1 being it's going to take a long time or not pay off at all? What's your level of confidence?
6.5, and the only reason why that would seem a little bit low is because it still has a Democrat governor, and there's still a lot of opportunities to put up red tape and to kind of throw wrench in the works, right? But the interest is there, and the leadership is there. It's a matter of people getting out of the way and letting it happen.
You know, I know that there is going to be red tape, and there'll be people getting in the way of it, but on the counterpoint, you know he's just going to ask for more money, so he's going to probably milk this for even more private investments. So in the end, money talks, and I think that could be the beneficiary there. Daniel Turner, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Ryan. Thank you.